Sometimes you want to laugh. For all the other times, there's this.
Connect to the Wi-Fi from next door. Because you know it's time for the Ash, Kip and Lutzy podcast.
Toad's 106.9.
Wednesday morning.
Heyo.
Suze is away this week, just a reminder. But we're ramping up throwback cashback. It's now known as 50 grand throwback cashback.
What does that mean, mate?
Apparently.
A dead set means there's some big coin on the table, David.
Yes. We're putting $50,000 on the line over the next few days. So they're ramped right up. So
KJ opened up his coffers.
He has.
My coffers, I mean, that could be a disgusting sentence if you don't know what coffers mean.
Yes.
So potentially we could be giving away $50,000.
Exactly. Today,
that's Anthony Milford money.
At least, yes, at least one of the rounds we play today is worth $3,500.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Just for knowing your throwback song.
What, in the show today? In our show?
Well, potentially on the show today, we could be giving away $5,500 if you know music.
Yeah. It's good, isn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's good, isn't
it? Unbelievable.
And we've had a lot of winners, and we've had a lot of people that get it early, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, this should be a good day for cash if you know your throwback songs.
We're not making it too hard, are we? Don't say you got to know your 17th century classical.
Imagine that.
Bach's fourth.
And the countdown goes really fast. It goes $3,500, $200,
$4.
And you're out.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
With all the rain that we've had recently, I heard Ange saying it's the wettest March in 16 years or something like that. We're getting a pool built at the moment. And we were so lucky because they managed to, like, they dug the hole and then they managed to spray it. Concrete spray it or put the concrete in or whatever just before the big rain hit.
Yeah.
I remember Brownie a couple of years ago when he was back here in Brizzy and he renovated his house. He put a pool in and they had just dug the hole and then some big storm hit and it just, like, can you imagine? It just turned it into like a massive nightmare.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about there's a, near my boy's school, there's a couple of car washers, those big car wash joints that you see. And normally they do a great business. So I was driving past one of them the other day and I looked at it and I went, man, I've never seen that nobody there. Like, no one's getting their car washed at the moment.
Oh, yeah, it kills their business.
Yeah, like, I don't know if they put the staff off or what they do when it's this bad. I know there'd be plenty of tradies at the moment that haven't had work.
Yep.
But who benefits? Like, when the weather's this bad?
The farmers.
No, I'm talking about here in the city.
In the city.
Yeah.
Laundry mats? Because you can't go out and...
You can't go out
and hang your dry...
Laundromats, I think it is.
Laundromats.
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 That's where Matt Damon visits.
Yeah.
Who else?
Is there anyone else? Or is everybody doing it tough when it rains like this?
I guess movies and stuff like that.
You
go in.
Yeah.
Gyms even, because you don't go for a run, you got to go in.
Yeah.
Although brothels, we're a bit down when it's wet.
No, they definitely are doing a better business. I drive past the ones on Abbotsford Road.
And
I just have this thing where I have to look at how many people are in there.
I drive past all the cars. Well, there's two of them there.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a lot of cars there.
There's
at
a lot
the
more cars at the moment.
Yeah.
Especially around, lunchtime.
Even 5 a.m.
That's
when you see a lot of them as well.
Nowhere near where I wanted to go. But wouldn't the idea of one of those places be that discreet? Like, it's better for no one to know what's going on.
They're always on main roads. It's bizarre because you actually see blokes. If you drive to work, you see guys sitting in the gutter waiting for a cab.
That's
a low moment in your life, isn't it?
I always toot and wave. I don't know why.
Barry!
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Got one called Robert out of Chermside suggesting, Ash, that people that do well in the rain are panel beaters.
More accidents on the road, I guess.
And Sparky's was another call
as
well.
Now, why would Sparky's?
Remember you had that issue the other day where you got rain in the roof and then half your lights went out?
Yep.
That's funny, that relates directly to you and you couldn't remember it.
Yeah, but I just thought, because I've got an old house, that was, directly related to
the rain. Did you get that all sorted? Did you have to get a Sparky out?
Yeah. Actually, Steve, our Sparky, was listening at the time.
Oh, really?
He went over there. It was like a call out to him.
Yeah, right.
He went over and helped us out.
Yeah, nice.
So Sparkies and panel beaters are doing it well at the moment.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Now, I was reading a story about... because the reason that I speak about this is I've really been noticing, like, especially on my Facebook. You know, I've been getting into swimming, Lutzy?
Yes, I do.
This is all to do with Big Brother watching us on social media.
Mm.
I know that some people get upset when there was a story I was reading about a guy who went into, like, a fast food chain, and he just went in there and bought his whatever for lunch, and... Then on his phone came an advertisement, like when he was on social media, came an advertisement to download that restaurant's app so that he can get deals. And he's like, well, how the bloody hell do they know that I'm here?
Mm.
And that sparked the whole thing. And it all comes back to the fact that you've got your mobile phone, your smartphone, and, you know, you enable location services or whatever.
Yep.
Like, you know,
I know where you are.
So they know where you are.
Yeah.
Which doesn't bother me at all. In fact, when I was driving home yesterday, I stopped off at Yatala Pies to buy some pies for the boys for dinner, and I saw one of those Google Map cars.
Like, the ones with the camera on the roof and stuff?
Yeah. Like, it's all dressed up now.
Yep.
What does that do? Just drive around all day and take pictures of the streets?
I think so. Yeah.
And they've mapped some underwater stuff as well out in the reef, I know.
Sorry?
They've even mapped the reef. I think there's people that have been under there with cameras... On the reef, you can actually go underwater in some areas now.
Oh, God. Well,
it's incredible.
Yeah, I know. Look, as I saw him, I was like, good on you, mate, because without you, I'm lost. Like,
yeah.
Remember the days
exactly.
of the old UBDs?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how the hell I found anywhere. So I saw that yesterday, and people have been saying, oh, you know, like, we're losing our privacy and all the rest of it. And basically, if you want to turn that off, like, if you've got a problem with that, which I don't, but do you?
No.
Not really.
Then you turn off your location services, and they're saying that sort of saves everything. But answer me this one. I don't understand this, okay? Like, you know that I've been getting into my swimming lately, Lutzy.
Mm.
So on Facebook, for example, I will get friend requests on Facebook, and the ones that annoy me and that I just go, okay, you're done, and I block you or, you know, delete and all the rest of it, is if you accept a friend request and then next thing you know, they're advertising on you. Like, they put up, like, it's sunglasses advertisements and all this type of stuff. And it used... Do you ever get that?
I don't think so.
You know, I, from time to time, I get it.
Or like, actual ads.
Yes. Yeah, they do. And, well, I've got that too.
And they'll post it on your wall.
They'll post it up on my wall and...
Or tag you in or whatever.
And they tag me in it, and it looks like I'm promoting something that I go, I'm not doing that. And then I've got to go through the whole hassle. So then I go and I delete the friends or whatever. Not that they are friends. I've never met them. But... they used to all be fishing ones, and I used to be a sucker for that. Like, if I get a friend request from someone holding up a big fish, I'm into my fishing, I go, yeah, I want to know that bloke. Boom, I do that. Now I'm getting ones from people that are swimming.
Huh.
And I've been getting into swimming, and I don't understand how it knows that all of a sudden...
Well, it must be because you've befriended, like, Trent Grimsey and stuff like that, and then they go, oh, okay, he likes Trent Grimsey, so it knows that you like other swimmers.
Yeah, but when you say they, like, what is that?
Well, I think Facebook, I don't think friend requests are necessarily linked. I think that would be more, you've been talking about swimming on air as well, so swimmers...
No, these aren't real people, Kip.
Oh.
These are not real people, you can just tell. Like, I've got no mutual friends.
Yeah.
They're ghosts. Like, they're just ghosts.
People you may know, it always comes up, so that's the same theory, right?
Yeah.
If you've put down three people that are swimmers, like... A swim coach, they then find their friends, and their friends are probably swimmers as well, and then they suggest them to you.
No, what I'm saying is that these are not people. They're
robots.
Sending me friend requests. They're ghosts. They've got... There's no one that I know, but their profile...
Well, it's got to be your activities, or what you're putting up there, or your friends.
I don't think I've put anything up.
As I'm saying, if you become friends with Trent Grimsey, they go, okay, he's into swimming, so we're going to try and sell him Speedos.
Yeah, but how advanced is that?
But they do that all the time now. Like, all I get, I'm looking at holidays at the moment, and all I get beside my Facebook now is hotels in Phuket.
Yeah.
So they know that.
Once you've done a search, it just...
Once you've searched something or anything you search, then they know.
Yeah, I remember that nearly brought me undone when I was looking at engagement rings. And then
you just get peppered.
And I hadn't proposed or anything yet. And then all of a sudden, every ad
was popping up.
It was like rings. I was like, shut up.
Oh, when you're on your...
Yeah,
right.
So like, yes. I'd be on my Google and all the strip ads up the side were all rings. And I was just going, this is so obvious what I've been doing.
Well, I think we can all agree that based on if our search history was to be thoroughly investigated, we've all done pretty well.
Yes. Yes. I mean,
for you to get a Phuket holiday.
Hotels in Phuket are the least of my dramas popping up on my screen.
Anthony out of Springfield Lakes reckons he knows. How does it work, Anthony?
Hey, guys, you know, I reckon Ash, it's linked to your location services still. You know, my Facebook comes up when I'm somewhere and it says, oh, you're here. You want to take a photo and share that out of, say, you know, Brisbane Square or whatever.
Ah, so it always shows that you're at the pool.
Yeah, that's right. So you're probably taking your phone to the pool and it knows you're going to the pool, so it throws it up.
Yeah, you know what? I reckon you're right.
Yeah.
Because when I hop in the car of a morning, normally, like when I hop in the car after work today, my phone will straight away, and I don't know how it does this, it'll say, you're 58 minutes from home.
Yeah.
And now when I hop in the car of a morning, because I go swimming Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, it goes, you're however 58 minutes from Centenary Pool.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so it knows. There you go.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Ash, Cooper and Lutzie.
I'm just reading about the Silverchair drummer, Ben Gillies. We've met his wife in that.
Oh, yeah, she was one of the housewives, right?
Yeah, housewives, the Real Housewives of Melbourne. Yeah, Jackie. We met
that's
her.
Right.
She was nice. She came in here. He is suing his former personal trainer. Ben Gillies is suing the former personal trainer because he's 37 years of age now.
Wow.
He's 37. Can't believe that. And this goes back to 2014 when Ben, the drummer, has gone to a personal trainer, some bloke called Jeremy Strong, and it was his it was his first visit to this gym in Melbourne. So his first visit, he's got a personal trainer, all right, we're going to get into it. And I guess he was doing the bench press.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Strong has said, right, you go on, get into it, you can do it. And apparently Ben has said, I can't bench press that, it's too much.
Yeah, but he wasn't a big lad, Ben.
He
didn't even eat back in those days in Silverchair.
Yeah, he'd be rock and roll thin.
Yeah.
And according to the story, Jeremy Strong insisted he continue to bench press a weight despite his protest that it was too heavy. Now, in the writ that's been subsequently lodged in the county court, the drummer claims that as a result, he was unable to drum for 8 months and that the injury is still, he's still partially incapacitated. He claims the injury forced him to turn down television roles on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, Celebrity Apprentice and Celebrity Big Brother.
Right.
And it says, it's unlikely given the nature of his injury that he'll ever be able to achieve his pre-injury level of drumming skills to enable him to tour or return to his previous ability.
Gee, it's a fair claim.
I wonder how much weight was on the bench press.
Yeah, should be in the story, shouldn't it?
He might have. Yes.
I would like to know
how much weight.
Yes.
Yeah.
How much weight was on that bench press? Because that's a hell of an injury that he's got from.
Yeah.
Well, he's popped a pec, has he? Like, what do you do? They reckon if you blow a pec, I mean, footy terminologies, that's not good.
Have you ever blown a pec?
I've never blown a pec.
No.
No.
No, not that I can remember.
I know, I'm pathetic on the bench press. I know that.
Well, there's certain things I just won't do.
I have had injuries.
Squats with those, with a bar over your shoulder.
Oh, those.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I do find sometimes, and I've got no idea, you know, like, in all honesty, I look at that and go, really, mate, come on. I don't know.
If that's incapacitated him for me, that's what he does. He drums. Yeah. That's all he's good at. He's been doing it since he was 11.
Yeah, but why is it Jeremy's fault? I mean,
well, I had a trainer once.
Go on.
And I was doing, I don't remember what I was, like crunches or something. And I said,
yep.
I said, that's actually really hurting. And I felt like I was tearing something down my ab.
Yeah.
I said, that's actually really hurting. Come on, mate.
Don't be soft.
You're a big wuss.
Come on, pump up 10 more.
Yeah, 10 more. So then I kept going because I'm an idiot and I didn't just, you know, listen to myself and go, no, I've got to stop. So he's telling me I've got to keep going. So I kept going. And then I did tear something and then I couldn't do anything that involved abs for the next 3 months, even when I tried to bench press, because you know, you turn on your abs, so that would hurt.
When you cough, when you laugh, so, when you fart, so everything else.
So I'm on his side. Like, sometimes you should be able to say to a trainer, no, that's wrong for me, and they should believe you.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm not doubting that he's gone to the gym and that the bloke has got no idea. I'm just speculating. But if he... Okay, he's torn a pec.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody tore a pec recently in the NRL.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. They're back playing NRL in like 6 or 8 weeks. This happened in 2014.
Right.
This guy's a drummer.
Yeah.
Like, get your hand...
Get your hands and do a drumming now.
Yeah, okay, I'm doing it.
Like, look.
All right. Now have Fooey Moy Moy run at you.
Flapping around in the breeze.
Have Fooey Moy Moy run at you and try and stop Fooey and see how much you need your pec. Yeah, and compare that to drumming and tell me that he can't drum.
I get that.
Please.
A pec is a serious injury.
I'm saying
you're not back within 6 to 8.
Oh, okay. Well, call it a season then.
It can be a season. It can be a season, a pec injury.
Call it a season. Why is he not able to drum since 2014?
I'm more worried how it keeps him out of Celebrity Apprentice. That's what concerns me.
How does it
keep you off reality TV?
Well, that's a very good point.
Your Honour, here's my closing argument.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Edelston went off Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, he hasn't even got
pecs. Your Honour, Jeffrey Edelston lost his pecs in 1940, and he still went on Celebrity Apprentice. Ash, Kip and Lutzy. Oh, Kip, I got in trouble from D... who runs our fun and games department.
Didn't you? What?
And I love Dee. Like, Dee's been here. You've been here since day dot, haven't you, Dee?
Yeah,
we've all been
now.
In this together. since
1968, I think she started. When Nova first started here in Brisbane.
And so we've known each other for a long time, and Dee got very upset with something I said last week, because Dee's single at the moment, and I launched from, you know, going off like I do.
Yes.
Like, no... No idea what I'm talking about most of the time.
Sweeping statements.
Sweeping statements. Because I'm married, I've got kids, blah, blah, blah. And I said last week on the show that there's never been an easier time to be single in the search for a partner.
Yeah.
Like, with all of the apps and all of the things that we've got at our disposal these days, that...
One swipe.
For a bloke like me who can't talk to the opposite sex.
No,
like
you're very bad at it.
Oh, hopeless. Hopeless. And I'm saying it's so easy now.
Didn't you cop it
for
that?
You got Tinder, you got this, you got that.
Yeah.
And D was very upset with me, and she wants to go me on air next.
Right after Rag and Bone Man skin. Ash, Kip and Lottie. D from our fun and games department is in the studio as well.
Yeah, now if you want to chime in on this one, if you're single and, you know...
Sick of it.
And sick of it or whatever, 13-24-10. But I was saying last week that, you know, like as a guy who... Honestly, had no idea, like, when we'd go out, when I was a single bloke and I'd go out to nightclubs, and that's where...
City Rowers.
Yeah, City Rowers.
We used to go there.
No, where was the other place I used to go?
On the Gold Coast.
Cocktails and Dreams.
Cocktails and Dreams.
Melba's.
Melba's.
Shooters.
Billy's Beach House.
Billy's Beach House.
Billy's Beach House was my...
Oh, yeah.
That was my locale.
Yeah, when I was the walking
there. Oh, Billy's Beach House.
It's voodoo!
Voodoo! Here
music
comes
and stop.
None of that happened.
You saw it. Tell him, Lutzy. Tell him, Lutzy.
A woman.
I couldn't. I was
the
only
reason you met Jody. She saw you and you lost your faculties. She had to clean you up.
Now that's not true. There you go. But I was. I was hopeless. I couldn't. I could never. I just couldn't get it. I was saying that in this day and age of Tinder. What was the other one you said?
Fish out of sea.
Plenty of fish.
Happen.
Yeah. Fish out of water.
Yeah, happen.
Whatever it is. Like,
there's a million.
Yeah. Instagram, Facebook, all of them. They're all places.
But I'm talking about the specific ones where it's just there for... Like, that's heaven for me. Here's a pic. This is what I'm into.
Yeah.
But what
Bang,
do you reckon? And then if
this.
I get rejected, I don't even know about it. That's the beauty of
doesn't
you.
Even,
you don't even know about it.
Doesn't
How
even
easy
hurt.
Is that?
Yep.
Like, that's awesome.
It's almost like they've stumbled on something. They're smart. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said.
They take rejection out of it.
Dee's a single lady, and Dee is looking for love. And now I will vouch, Dee would be the greatest catch for someone. Like, she is such a great person. Yeah, you are.
And
if I knew someone that was single, I would not hesitate to recommend that they go out with Dee. But all of these apps that I'm talking about that I'm saying would be wonderful, Dee says, no, they're not.
No.
And I don't understand why.
Look, they've got their place. I think I said that. They've got their place for the right demographic. I think I'm talking about a specific demographic as well. So you and I are similar ages. And I think we're trying to adapt to a younger way of trying to date in this generation. So you match with these people and, yeah, you don't know that you're being rejected, but eventually you do match and then you might chat to them for like a week or a couple of days, a couple of hours, and it's flowing really well. And then instantly they're just like, unmatch. And it's just like, whoa. So that's the ultimate of rejection, because they're there and you're chatting and you're engaged with this person. You think the conversation's flowing and everything's going really well, and then instantly it's an
Radio silence.
Yeah.
When you say the conversation's flowing, is it just text conversation?
Just text. Yeah, absolutely.
See, I don't think that is, like, that would be tough, but I don't think that's the ultimate rejection. I think the ultimate rejection is face-to-face in the nightclub when the person actually physically turns their back on you and calls you a creep.
Says you're gross.
Yes, yeah, and says, I'm not interested, go away.
No, I won't call you voodoo.
Yes.
Yes.
That you can't buy me a pot of mid-strength beer. Yes. Domestic.
That is the ultimate rejection.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Yeah. What the effort it gets to get to a face-to-face, though, is insane. Like, you're talking to these people sometimes for weeks on end, or some want to meet within an hour of matching with them. Mm. So where's the balance? Like, you've got to have some sort of moral high ground to go, I've just matched with you. No, I'm not going to come and have a coffee with you. I don't know who you are.
Coffee in inverted commas.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing.
And that's the other thing. You've got to work out what the boundaries of what the other person's after.
And that's it.
Is it a quick hookup, or is it...
Yeah. You know?
Now, is that what the apps are for, really? Like, is everyone putting the word on you straight away and going, let's go for coffee?
Yeah, definitely. Yes. I played with this the other day, on the weekend, actually. On Sunday, I just thought, I'm just going to see who I can match with on Tinder. And I was sitting up to probably about 30 matches in my Tinder profile. And overnight, so from Sunday 8 o'clock until Monday morning when I woke up, I'd had, I think it was 9 of those guys propositioned me.
Really?
Are you?
For a hookup?
Yep, absolutely.
Really?
And just one word, up for a boop, up for a this, want to...
Really? So like, nine out of 30.
9 out of 30 of within a couple of hours.
But, okay, so if you go 9 out of 30, and that was all in the space of one night, isn't the advantage of that the fact that you can, because you're looking for a long-term relationship, rule out 9 out of 30 possible suitors in one night? You get to rule them out straight away and go, okay, they're not for me.
Yeah, but then the 21 others
still
haven't even contacted me.
Hmm.
They're just swiping.
So you've got one
or
the other.
There's no connection. There's nothing.
So are people not going to Tinder looking for long-term?
I don't think so. Yeah, that's pretty much my conclusion as far as that is concerned. And then there's a whole world of pain in the other space as well.
13 24 10 is our number if ever you want to get involved with the show.
Can we go to Denise?
Yeah.
Out of Robina. Yes, Denise?
Yes, I totally agree. The apps like Tinder, Plenty of Fish, because they're free, you just continually get propositions for things that, you know, some women are looking for, but not a lot are looking for. And then you go on your dating sites like RSVP and things like that, and then there's nothing really much on there. It's like you instantly, people say to you, what are you looking for? Well, my profile clearly says what I'm looking for, but yes, you will get propositions 9 out of 10 times, or inappropriate.
They'll send you a photo. Are you looking for this?
Yes, you do. Oh my God. The girls and I will send them around the office because you get them on a regular basis. So we all share them with everybody. Who you're talking with online is definitely not who you meet in person.
Yeah.
Have you ever, if you get blokes that send you that stuff, have you ever then, like, and you've rejected them or you just ignore them or whatever, have you ever then, like, been at the shops and go, hey, I've seen a naked, you sent me a naked, like, have you ever seen someone in real life?
No, I don't think I have. Not from a naked selfie, no. No.
You, Denise?
No, because you pretty much only get that anatomy.
Yeah, right.
I don't even show their face.
Ash Giffen Lutzy. It's so funny how it's just like how quick you have to judge on these things is, again, you're judging on like Tinder, for instance. It's just a split second. But I guess it's the same as walking past someone in a nightclub and going, you're not. All right. But Conan, for instance, is one of the people on this phone right now.
Yeah.
And immediately I've gone, I like Conan. You know, Conan the Barbarian, Conan the Destroyer. He'll be something. You watch what he does, Conan. I've judged him on his name, the poor bugger.
Yeah, the judge. Yeah. Hey, Conan.
Hey, how you going, guys?
What are your thoughts? Ash was saying earlier that he reckons that, you know, it's easier for people today with all the apps and the ways to meet.
I find that there's, from a guy's point of view, there's a lot of women that are time wasters on the dating apps too.
Hmm.
Like, I used to try and strike up conversations with women and stuff like that, and that was all they were about until I started changing my mindset and being a bit more to the point and saying, this is what I want, what do you want, and then we could have a conversation.
Right. And has it worked out for you? Like, what do you got going?
I met my wife through Oasis Active. Currently separated at the moment, but yeah, I met my wife through Oasis.
There you go, so...
No. See... Hey, there's some success stories, though. Look, yeah, go to Jade out of Strathpine.
What we're doing,
22.
Irene contacted me, Ash, and suggested that because you and Jade had, in the day, there was less access to these sorts of things. So she's suggesting that the availability of avenues just makes everyone more replaceable. So in a lot of ways, you know, now, for instance, it's harder to keep a relationship together because you can find someone else at the drop of a hat. Yeah. Oh, there's one.
Yeah,
there's one. Whereas back in the day, there wasn't that. You had to,
yeah.
No.
How did you meet someone else then?
And there's too many fish.
Exactly.
Yeah. See. Yeah.
Billy's beach house has been levelled now. It's not there anymore. I mean, I've got no other avenues. Literally.
They actually did do it.
So you've got a success story, Jade?
Yeah, I do, yeah. So I just met my current partner on Tinder.
Okay. How long you been together for? How long is it lasting?
So it's been about 2 years now.
There you go.
So... yeah, I'd say it's going pretty good. Like, we're in a good place and, you know, we're looking for the future, like looking at buying a house and stuff. So, yeah, it hasn't gone to crap. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, actually looking down, there's a few. Christine from Kalanga, she met a partner on Tinder. She's engaged. We've got Taylor, who's got a partner from Tinder.
I've been to 3 Tinder weddings now, like 3 people that have met on Tinder. And I reckon, and I don't know, I wasn't on the dating scene then, but Dee, you might agree that back, you know, 2 years ago, it was more of a...
Oh, yeah.
Finding a relationship, and now it's just hookups.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, you reckon? Yeah, I was going to say the other way.
No, I do agree. I feel like it's definitely progressed more into the hookup space. That said, though, one of my best friends, who actually we met on RSVP probably about 10 or 11 years ago now, and we tried to have a relationship a couple of times, but he's turned out to be my best friend, and which is great. But he's now since found his partner on Tinder, and they're in an incredibly good place. And they are my age as well. So I don't deny that there aren't success stories, but I just feel like the judging is extraordinary, and you don't get that face-to-face in a nightclub.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or whatever, a bar, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, we've got...
Well, what have we established? Nothing.
I don't
know. Nothing. Nothing at all. Welcome to the show.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy. I wish Suze was here. I wonder, in her role as a mum, if she's had a night like we had last night. I honestly think I'm going off less than 2 hours sleep. I actually don't know. I actually don't feel that bad, but I was Jody was working late last night, so I was doing the family shuffle with the kids and all the rest of it, and everything was running smooth. I got, like, Archie and I were in bed at like 7:45, you know, because I like Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, I got up ridiculously early, and I like to be, I actually like to be in bed by 7:30. How ordinary is that? Yeah, I do. I just go until I, you know, that's it. Because I don't sleep during the day or anything like that. So,
that you
know,
helps.
And anyway, so about 7:45 last night, I was in bed. Everything was smooth. And Archie started to say that he was feeling sick. And I was like, oh, you'll be right. And fell asleep. And then at 8:30, but I'd already been asleep. So 8:30, I know that sounds like the night's still young, but I you know that feeling when you, like, it could have been, honestly, it could have been 1 o'clock in the morning. That's how, a deeper sleep I was in by 8:30. All I hear is Archie just rustling around, and the heat, there was heat coming from him. And it all happened in the space of, like, an hour. He was fine. And he was making these noises, and I've gone, you know, I didn't know it was only 8:30 at that stage, and I've gone, what's going on, mate? What's going on? And before he could answer, he started projectile vomiting.
Yeah.
And he vomited. Mitch, he vomited. There was a bit of vomit that came. Yeah, it came out of it. It went into my mouth.
No.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine how that...
Well, you would have projectile vomited back on him.
Oh, so it was just
like shooting at each other.
game of pong. Vomit pong.
And at the same time, I was like, I was fascinated because I could not believe that so much stuff could come out of like a... He weighs 22 kilos.
Mm.
Like, there's nothing. That's nothing, really. Like, 22 kilos. I was like, what? Where is it all coming from? It was like,
what is he eating?
I don't know. And I fed him. He had party pies for dinner. Well,
that might explain
the problem.
No, but it was like, gosh, it was just like it was flying out of him, and I'm like, oh no, and brand new sheets, of course, like brand new, like clean, like the cleanest sheets and everything like that. And you know that feeling when you got brand new sheets, and it was like it was all like the pillows. It was just, and I'm like, I'm up, and then and then I'm throwing up, and I've got that stench on me.
Yeah,
and then
I go and stand.
I took
that
all
smell.
The stuff off, and I went down. I threw it all in the laundry, and then I'm looking at this sort of empty mattress. And thank God it was at that time. Jody Judd, like the worst timing. She came home.
Oh, thank God for that.
What a thing to enter the house.
Yeah, I know. That's how she came. She
you
came
two
home.
Projectile vomiting on each other.
Nude. Nude by this point.
And she walks in and goes, "Why is there no sheets on the bed?" And I went, "He's just throwing up everywhere." And she's gone, oh, you know, and says she's sort of taking care of Archie.
Mm.
And
what have you done?
I went and cleaned my teeth and washed my mouth and all the rest of it. And then,
yourself.
And then she made the bed. She remade the bed.
Mm.
And I was like, okay. But now I'm starting to get antsy because now it's like 9 o'clock and I'm like, I've got to get back to sleep. And I knew it was going to be a whole drama to get back to sleep. And I'm lying there in bed and I was trying to remember that thing that you were telling me. Remember that sleep technique?
Count to seven or something. Breathe in for seven, hold for eight, breathe out in four. Yeah. But, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Don't try it in the car.
Yeah,
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
I couldn't remember that. And anyway, I reckon I laid there for like 45 minutes. It would have been 50 minutes because it was at 10 to 10.
Mm.
He went again.
Oh.
And he threw up again on the other sheets at 10 o'clock. And it's like, oh, we're done now. I slept out on the couch. I had to go out onto the couch. Jody slept on a little mattress in the room. And after midnight, I was still awake.
Yeah.
And then my alarm went off at 2:20. And I was like, I haven't had any sleep, but I feel pretty good. I don't know if that's adrenaline.
I still haven't worked it out. I don't know if you ever worked it out. People that get up early, sometimes I think you feel better the less sleep you get. Sometimes you'll have a 12-hour sleep and...
Feel bad.
Feel horrible.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm
going to... I don't know how to do it.
Remember how I've been complaining to you guys going, oh, I'm so tired all the time?
Yeah.
Like, this is actually the most awake I've felt all week, and I've had no sleep.
You'll hear the wall at some stage during the day.
Yeah. I'd have to, wouldn't I?
I've got a feeling it'll be during that compliance meeting.
Oh,
we've got
yes.
To...
yes.
We've got to sit...
That's exactly when you hit it. We've got to sit through an hour-long meeting, which we have to do. Legally, we have to be there.
Yeah, we've got to sit... We've got compliance today.
Is that the meeting where I poured water over you that time, Ash?
Yes.
Well, I might have to do that again to keep you awake. I'm taking water in with me.
I need to go and see KJ. It should be legal for me on a day like today that if anybody asks questions that keeps us there longer, I should be able to headbutt them.
You'll be asleep. If you get a beanbag.
It should be legal for me to headbutt people today.
Because there's beanbags in there. If you get a beanbag, and you will, you'll make sure you'll be up in the corner. You will be asleep.
You'll be gone.
We should ask a question relating to you.
Yes.
Ashley, I think you'll join me at
this point. Ash, Kip and Lassie.
Just go to Peter out of the switch. 13-24-10 if you want to be involved in the show. Yes, Peter.
Hey, boys.
Pete.
I just want to know what's going on with Ash. He's so worried about his sleep, but not worried about poor little Archie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All the projectile vomiting.
Who?
Yeah, I'm a father too, Ash. You've got to worry about your son more than your sleep.
How's Archie?
I'm just worried.
Who's Archie?
How long have those mini pies been in the freezer for is my question.
Is he all right, though?
Yeah, no, he's got the day off. No, he'd be fine.
Lazy
he's
little.
Good for him. Ash, Kevin,
Lutzy. So I had a... big day yesterday. I feel like I didn't have any time at home. Like after, I think we stayed here for a bit. We had a bit of stuff on after. And then I had a doctor's appointment. And then I had to go to...
Is she pregnant?
No.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Ear infection. And then I had to go to the dentist. I actually went and got my teeth whitened yesterday for the, like, you know, for, I guess, for the wedding. You know,
did you?
Photos and stuff. Yeah.
Did it work?
I think so. I know you guys didn't notice, but...
You should have let us do it before and after.
Oh, they did it in there. They took photos of my mouth and after.
Does it just clean off stains, like coffee stains and that sort of crap, or is it actually whiten your teeth?
It's a bit of both, I guess. So
you can't see your teeth through your beard, though.
Yeah, no, I've got to have a trim. I sat in the chair and they put the... I just did it at the dentist at New Farm, and they put this stuff on your teeth, and then they put a little light on it.
Okay.
And
well, that's not just getting rid of stains. It's actually...
Yeah, no, it's proper whitening solution. And then they say, oh, we'll do like 2 to 4 sessions depending on how much it hurts, like how you're going with the pain threshold.
How much it hurts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did the first 2, easy. And I was like, yeah, this is fine. I'm going to be able to go 4 of these. And then just sort of midway through the 3rd one, all of a sudden you start getting...
Oh,
like,
what, do they ramp it up, whatever? Like,
no, but it's just, I don't know, maybe it soaks in and gets to your nerves.
Your nerves.
Because then all of a sudden you go, like, you just get this little ping, a needle in you. It's whatever the peroxide or whatever it is on your teeth.
But is it a brush? Like they're brushing it in?
No, they put a solution on. It's like a gel.
But how do they put it on? They're painting it on.
Yeah, pretty much. You're in the chair with those things that hold your lips open.
Yeah.
And then a light... activates it,
and then they put the light on
it—a blue light or something.
And then they, and then they sort of wipe that gel off and put on a fresh batch for the next one. They're 15-minute sessions, so you can do 4. It takes you a full hour. And I was watching Biggest Loser Transformed. I have that on the TV above you. And then I asked them. I went,
great.
Can you switch to the sun here?
Change the channel.
Yeah, they understood me. They were really good.
I bet you they get a lot of that.
Yeah. So we switched to Food Network or whatever, and. But the 4th one actually really started to hurt a fair bit. It was what you started to get, like needle pangs, and then you've got to go through a bit of pain through the day. Like, so I'm not feeling it at all today. So, but for the rest of the night, all of a sudden you just get like a needling pain, and you've got to put Sensodyne on your teeth and your gums.
And does it continue to like whiten your teeth?
Nah, that's it. But they give you,
how long does it last?
3 to 6 months, I think. And then you've got but then they give you these trays that you can top up every sort of 3 to 6 months. And then
that's what I do at home.
Do you?
Yeah, I usually do it every 6 months.
Yeah.
And it goes pretty white. Although, you know that pain that you're talking about?
Yeah.
When you do it at home, sometimes you get too much of the fluid and it goes on your gums and that stings.
So how do you put it on, Ange? What do you do?
You just have like a mouth guard.
Yeah.
Like that's molded to your teeth and you just put the liquid solution in the mouth guard and you put it on, and I leave it on for about an hour.
Wow. Oh, do you? I thought it was
supposed to be 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Probably.
Does it work?
Quick ones.
Yeah. I find it works.
White teeth. But if you always had white, that's what I'm trying to work out. Is it just...
Nah, I've never really had white teeth. I got like antibiotics when I was a kid and they stained
them. Yeah, so mine aren't super white. So would mine... So it actually... Because my teeth are clean. Mm. But some of them, when you get the toothpaste and that sort of thing, it says whitening toothpaste. But actually read it, it goes, get rid of those unwanted stains. Well, they're not stained.
Yeah.
That's just how the colour your teeth are.
You should get them, though. You got those little baked bean teeth. They're real good if you... You know what I mean? You could get something like that done.
Like little fingers in your mouth.
You've got those little mouth fingers you call teeth.
Oh, don't laugh. Ash,
Kip and Lutzy. I can't believe we've got compliance on today. I wonder if there's any other businesses that you have to have a... Like, I can't believe it's been a year since we had compliance.
I've got a feeling there is. I was talking to a tradie that they have to do a thing, you know, every year, like a safety...
You have to do it to just even work here.
Yeah.
For everyone.
For us on the radio, once a year, by law, like to be... And for some reason, it's not just us that are on air. It's that everyone. They're dragging everyone from... Like, if you could be a sales rep, and don't they make the sales department go and do it?
Yeah.
Like, and they're not even on air, and you sit there and you learn about defamation, and you can't say this, and you can't say that.
And it's usually you just hear about... Some old wisecracker in Adelaide who keeps...
Yeah, Bob Francis.
Bob Francis.
He just
says outrageous things all the time.
We're just lucky we don't have to do an exam after it, because one of my girlfriends is a financial planner and they have to do it every single year and they have a big test.
At the end of it.
Yeah.
Well, compliance.
Yep.
But what's that about? That can't be the same stuff as us.
It wouldn't be the same content, but it's legal stuff.
Get Bob Francis.
Yeah, they have to listen to Bob Francis.
Yeah, but don't you reckon?
It's kind of funny listening to Bob Francis.
Don't you reckon though, Lutzy? Because from time to time they'll go, okay, you can't say something that's defamatory, and then they might play something from the Brekkie show down in Melbourne, and we'll get a laugh. We'll go, oh, Brownie, Dave.
Big dog.
Don't you find it funny that in the whole time that we've done compliance, and we've been doing this a while now, not once have they ever played one of our grabs?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon when they do compliance down in
Melbourne,
said it's like, Nuff Nuffs in Queensland, Ash, Kip and Lutzy, have a listen to what they said. I reckon they protect us from our own until they get to
Surely
Adelaide.
Bob Francis isn't sitting in Adelaide going, this is Bob again. He's sitting over there in that beanbag.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, Bob said this about Muslims.
Bob sitting there going, oh, let's see what Ash, Kip and Lutzy have done in the last 12 months.
Boys up there in Brisbane, aren't they?
Rednecks up in Queensland. Yeah. Let's see what they've been
doing. As if we're not getting smashed every time they do it down in the other... in the other states.
Jared out of Holland Park, spelt without a D, is not the Jared part, the Holland part, is on the phone. Morning, Jared.
Morning, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. Now, you're a tradie, it says here?
Yeah. Compliance for once a year is not too bad. We got to do a switchboard training and CPR twice a year, and we have toolboxes once a month.
Toolboxes?
It's a meeting with all your tradies and see what's going on with the office and what's happened that month.
Oh, how annoying.
A toolbox
meeting.
It's not too bad.
Yeah.
The only is you only need one tool in it to sort of drag it out.
Do you have someone like we have here, and it's generally it's the new person on the street team who he sits there at the end of it. The presenter will go, okay.
Any questions?
Yeah. And I just sit there.
Ash is waking up.
Do not ask a question, and someone will start asking questions.
Yeah.
And
it can
keep you there another 45 minutes.
Yep.
I might ask one.
100%.
No, you won't.
I won't. I'll say it now, but I won't. You always get the... And sometimes it's people not even on air that go...
Yeah, it's always people that aren't on air.
What if they said this on air? Can you say this on air? Yeah. Well, you're not ever going to do that.
I'm going to make sure you never get on.
You'll never.
Yes.
Not now, you won't.
The classic was, remember my brother, he was at compliance once when he was at the station down on the Gold Coast, and he reckons it was someone who wasn't on air. The lady was up talking about how you can't, she was using the example, you can't use, say if you went to such and such Chinese restaurant, and then you came on air the next day, said such and such Chinese restaurant,
cash for comment,
is the worst.
Opposite
is the is the best Chinese restaurant, and they're giving you
that's what Lutzy does every weekend.
Yeah.
Yes, and the guy said, any questions? And he goes, what if it wasn't a Chinese restaurant?
What if it was Thai?
What if it was a Malaysian? No, he said Malaysian. What if it was a Malaysian restaurant?
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.